Whiskey and Zorn. Whiskey and Zorn. Sounding his own.
Whiskey and Zorn, Wendy. Legally, we can only have one in the studio at a time, and we chose
Eric.
Well,
then get out of here, Eric.
It goes very well together. We go very well together.
Right. It's like ketchup and mustard. How are you, Eric? Nice to see you.
Good to see you guys.
You have a bunch of things that you've written recently that we wanted to touch on today. One of them is a story that just won't seem to go away. The Jussie Smollett story.
Yeah, I have. You know, the what happened last Friday was that this judge, Tooman, Michael F. Tooman, the 81-year-old judge over in Cook County, wrote a 22-page opinion about this case. It was an appeal from a retired appellate court judge, Sheila O'Brien. She said that that justice demanded that we look into the Jussie Smollett case. And just to refresh everybody out there who has somehow tried to block this story out, this, you know, several months ago, Jussie Smollett, who's an actor on TV's Empire, reported that he had been the victim of a homophobic and racist attack down here in Streeterville.
Yeah.
And it later developed that it looked quite a bit like he faked it to get attention. It's hard, not clear what. And in the as this case was going along, State Attorney Kim Fox pulled back. She recused herself kind of, sort of. She said, I'm not going to deal with this. I'm going to let my top deputy deal with it. And then it was going along, and it looked as though they were going to nail him for hiring these two brothers that he knew to stage this attack on him. And then suddenly, to everybody's surprise, the Kim Fox's office, Cook County State Attorney's office, dropped the case and said, basically, you know, we're going to take your bond money, but go ahead. You're free to go. Didn't extract an admission of wrongdoing on his part. And this caused an incredible story nationwide. Rahm Emanuel came out and blasted it. Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson blasted it. A lot of police chiefs were really angry about it. And Kim Fox never had a really good explanation as to what had happened here. And this had been sort of lingering out there. And I'd written a bunch of columns on this case saying this demands a closer look. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like a long shot that they would have a special prosecutor appointed. Kim Fox asked her attorney general to look into the handling of the case. But this ruling came down on Friday, and it was really interesting. It was very strong. I just want to read a tiny bit of it for you. I thought it was really, really interesting. He says, this is Judge Tooman. he says that is perhaps the most prominent display of Jussie Smollett's acting potential. He conceived a fantasy that propelled him from the role of a sympathetic victim of a vicious homophobic attack to that of a charlatan who fomented a hoax the equal of any twisted television intrigue.
Does this judge write books? Because I would like to read more from him.
Doesn't sound like it. Well, listen to this. At the end, he's talking about the case and how it goes. And what he complained about was that Kim Fox is the state's attorney, and she stepped away from the case. She said that she had a conflict of interest, and she then appointed her top deputy to handle it. But the judge says he can't do that. If you have a conflict, you can't appoint someone to handle it for you. You have to step aside and let a special prosecutor take over. So he put it this way. He said, the ship of state ventured from its protected harbor without the guiding hand of its captain. There was no master on the bridge to guide the ship as it foundered through uncharted waters, and it ultimately lost its bearings.
That, of course, from Moby Dick.
Ahoy! I said ahoy when I read that. It was really interesting.
Wow.
This was a very strong ruling, and it brings this case back. And I've said this before about what's gone on here, which is that Kim Fox, however she handled this case originally, she keeps compounding the offense by not coming back and explaining what happened to people. She's been hiding behind this idea that there's an inspector general looking at the case, and now she seems to be in a defensive crouch. She announced that she opposes this ruling by the judge, and she may appeal this. And I think she appeals it. It's a mistake because it keeps the story alive even longer. She's facing re-election next year. There'll be a primary in March, and I'm relatively sure she's going to be challenged in that primary.
Yeah.
And she has built up a pretty decent record over her first 3 years of being a prosecutor, of being a sort of a wise prosecutor who doesn't overcharge people, who looks at allegations of wrongful convictions, and who really seems to have an interest in justice, not just convictions. And she's done a pretty good job with that. And she's sort of thrown it all away on this Jussie Smollett case, and people don't have the confidence in the justice system. One of the things that Judge Tooman said was that...
And is he worth it? I'm sorry. She threw her whole career away over this.
I don't understand what has happened here. And this is what is so baffling, is that at some point along the line, she asked the Chicago Police Department to relinquish this case to the FBI at the request of Tina Chen, this attorney who is friendly with the Smollett family, Jussie Smollett's family. So what's going on here? She is acting as an advocate for Jussie Smollett while she's a prosecutor. It's a very strange thing.
There was a rumor, too, that was going around that she was related to him.
Right, and she is appalled by that rumor, and I have no reason to suspect that it's true at all. And she said that it's a racist rumor because she's African-American and he's African-American, which is you know, the kind of thing like, oh, you're Asian, you must be related to him. I mean, it's a pretty stupid thing to say.
Yeah.
I think there's absolutely no evidence for it. But there is no sense anyone understands what the conflict is. Why would she be motivated to get involved in this case? And the thing is, like, it is a small crime in a way, right? It's a filing a false police report.
Sure.
But people are prosecuted for this all the time. They don't go to prison for it, but they get fined. They have to maybe do some community service.
And they're found guilty of it, aren't they?
They're found guilty. They usually plead guilty. They usually something gets worked out where they say, well, okay, you know, look, we've got you on this. If you plead guilty, we'll give you, you know, 30 hours of community service and you pay a fine and that'll be it. But you got to plead guilty for it. What happened here was he claimed that he did 2 days of volunteer work over at Operation Push and retrospectively claimed this was community service.
Yeah.
That he forfeited a $10,000 bond that he had put up. But he didn't have to plead guilty. He immediately, after this ruling, he rushed down to the lobby of the criminal courts building and he was like talking about how innocent he was. And this really stuck in people's craw.
Yeah.
And again, it's not the biggest crime in the world. I think people don't necessarily want to see him march down to Stateville.
But didn't the police spend a lot more man hours on this case because it was so high profile, because he was a celebrity? They spent a lot more time.
Well, this is what happens with these cases, which is when you have a celebrity making an allegation against, you want to make sure that your law enforcement community shows itself in its best light, that it goes out and tries to solve this case. They reportedly spent $130,000 in overtime and so on on this case, trying to solve. They put, I think someone said like 12 people on it, but what they had to do was they had to go and find all the surveillance cameras from the area. That's how they tracked down the guy. They see him getting into a cab and they find the cab records.
They found those brothers pretty quickly.
I think they did a really good job on this. I think that's one of the reasons why the police were so upset about it, which was that in remarks prior to this surprise announcement, the state's attorney's office had indicated that it was a really solid case.
Yes.
That they really had him. So they really have him on this case. They've got this guy who has embarrassed the city. Now, it's hard to say that Chicago's been embarrassed by a homophobic attack when we have so many murders here every year, but it was still something that this story was national news. It was on, you know, some of the, it was actually on network news as well as, you know, the celebrity gossip shows and so on, because he was he's an actor,
yeah,
a well-known actor. So the police department did. They went and they put a lot of resources in it, and they felt like they solved it, and they felt like this reflected well in the police department. To have it suddenly pulled away like that was baffling. And it also reignited the story nationally. I think if he had just pleaded guilty, this all might have gone away. But now,
to some extent.
Well, no.
It still tarnished his career.
It tarnished his career, but
we would have already probably forgotten about it.
But as far as Kim Fox goes, and I did a piece a couple weeks ago where I counted the number of stories, number of times that Kim Fox's name and Jussie Smollett's name had appeared in news articles and just the Tribune, Sun-Times, and Daily Herald since the surprise exoneration. And it was up like somewhere around 90.
Wow.
And you're thinking, like, it should have been like three, right? It should have been like three stories, and then it goes away because Jussie Smollett says, yeah, I did it, I'm sorry, it's over.
Can I ask you this? The judge, Judge Tooman, has suggested that maybe some sort of a retrial or re-examining of the case take place. You can't be tried for the same crime twice.
But he wasn't tried.
He wasn't tried.
There's no double jeopardy because he never even
pled. Charges were dropped.
He never even pled. And so this case is still technically open, and he's right. Now, the Sun-Times editorial says we don't want the Smollett to be prosecuted, but I'm not sure exactly why the Sun-Times or anybody wouldn't want Smollett to be reindicted and compelled at least to make an admission in this case, because it is galling to think that what it's pretty clear. I mean, Tooman basically convicts him in this opinion,
right?
Because he's an actor, he made this up. It would be healthy, for Chicago, for this case, for him to come out and say, yeah, I did this. I'm sorry. I was in a bad place, or for whatever reason he did it. I wanted attention.
That? I don't think we'll see that.
I think that if the special prosecutor opens it all up again, you might well see something like that happen. Can we talk about something else?
Wait. What? Not yet, Eric. Hold your horse.
What about right now?
No, we must wait.
All right.
More with Eric Zorn and his horse next. It's Bill and Wendy at WGN.
Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune. Eric, you were saying that there was something else you needed to discuss with us. What could it be?
I'm hot. Is what you said.
Oh,
hot.
You are?
It's like on hot and cold.
Yeah, you're hot.
Actually, I am hot for...
Hot. Teacher?
This sounds a little weird. I did a piece on Friday about the Ventra card.
Yes.
Now, you guys don't take Ventra because you have your limo drivers take it.
Yeah, they...
But I'll bet your limo drivers commute with the CTA. And in 2013, the CTA rolled out the Ventra card, which was a new way of paying fares, and people hated
it.
Do you remember this?
Yeah.
People just hated it. They called it Ventrage. People were so mad about it. I interviewed a guy who dressed up for Halloween as a Ventra card. He used Photoshop and made himself into a big Ventra card. He said that he went to parties and people were hitting him.
Oh, yeah?
And calling him names and saying, I hate you.
And the reason is what?
Well, there were a bunch of reasons people hated it. One was that it had this tendency to double charge you. You would tap the little sensor, and it did. And because of the time lag, it took like 2.5 seconds, which doesn't sound like much to register at the time. But when you're a commuter running on a train, 2.5 seconds is an eternity. So people were like tapping the card and tapping the card and tapping the card.
You charge them every time
you tap the card, you were getting charged again because the card. It's kind of a great feature of the card, which is that you can tap a friend in if you want. So if a friend comes in from out of town, you can tap them in and then pass the card back and tap them in. But
they weren't reading it.
So that was one. The other thing was that they had made it into a credit card, and people were mad because a debit card. The debit card rates people thought were too high. So there was all this, and they had the Chicago Card Plus that was working okay. And there were just all kinds of little problems with the rollout. It was poorly handled. The CTA admits now that they really botched the rollout, and so they had.
Is it still going on?
They had the Ventra card.
Yeah.
No, the Ventra card. Well, what happened was they basically called a timeout, did a reassessment, figured out a bunch of these problems, held the vending company to a higher standard. Now it's they must register your tap at the train in half a second. And on the bus, it's 0.7 seconds.
Oh, that's pretty good.
And the other thing they did was that if you tap the card twice within 2 seconds or 5 seconds, it only goes once. Their computer system realized, that was too fast. That's not a double charge. So they worked out a bunch of these problems, and they also worked out some of the reloading problems. So essentially, the reason I wrote this column was there was a story in the papers a week ago that there was this outage for some users in Ventra in reloading their card and getting stuff on, so that the people were complaining on social media. We did a story about it, and I saw this story in the paper. I went, wow, I haven't even thought about Ventra. And I've got a Ventra card. I take the train. But it's like one of those things that you don't even think about it anymore.
Right. It's automatic.
The analogy that CTA likes to make is the dial tone on the phone, is that is the goal of anyone doing some sort of a technological advance, which is that it's just there like a dial tone. You don't even think, you pick up the phone as a dial tone, you don't think, that's a miracle, there's a dial tone on the phone. When it kind of is. And when you take the train now in Chicago with a Ventra card, you tap it, you walk in, it reloads itself in the background. I don't think about it. And I reflected on the fact that this thing has become almost seamless.
Yeah, they fixed it.
They just fixed it. It's one of those things that we don't complain about anymore. Now, this is one of those columns that gets people all upset because they're saying nice things about something. But I really noticed that this is one of these things. And I actually feel the same way about the iPass you have. You guys must have those.
Yeah,
your limousines have those, right?
Yeah, they have.
My helicopter limousines. Does.
Your helicopter, too. But that's another thing where we did a lot of driving over the weekend going down to Pittsburgh and back. And you just drive through the gates and it works and you don't think about it. And if you remember the old days of like, I don't have my wallet, and then you're in this long line of people scrounging for coins. And if you remember taking the train, if you guys ever took the L with finding the tokens for a while, you had to keep a supply of tokens, and you'd get to the train station, you didn't have the tokens, you had to go to the vending machine, or the little card that had the magnetic strip that if you folded it wrong, it wasn't working. I mean, all these things that used to be a hassle, and it's just completely seamless now.
Yeah.
And I just thought that it would be nice to say something nice about something. Very off-brand for me. But
people are going to think your column is ghostwritten.
Or I've gone soft.
Yes.
And one of those things I'm going to start writing about puppies. And
I hope that's not the case, like Eric. I hope it's not the case. That's Eric Zorn. You can hear him here with us on Mondays. You can read his column pretty much anytime you want. Thanks, Eric.
And also on the Mincing Rascals.
And on the award-winning Mincing Rascals.
We won the Golden Dome or whatever.
Congrats.
It's called. Silver Dome.
Yes.
Statewide award.
Yes.
That's so cool.
Yeah, we're proud of you.
John Williams let me touch the award last week. Very
that
cool.
That was so nice.
He's such
of
a
him.
Nice man.
Such yes, a he's a nice man.
He's a kind man.
Yes. His retina is detached, but he is not.
It's not detached anymore.
He fixed it? He scotch taped it? All right. Good. Thanks,
thank Eric.
You,
Eric.
Good to see you.
Coming up, the stories that matter with Don Kleppen. He's in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, 720 WGN.